True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
As we do, I've got a little personal news to share with you. The 2025 season will be my final one as the Nats primary TV play-by-play guy, whatever you like to call me, I'm okay with that. But I've got a new deal working for next year as a full-time husband, dad, and grandpa. And it's been pretty cool to have the kids around for the last couple of months after they moved home from Seattle.
That was Bob Carpenter yesterday as he and his cohort in the booth, our buddy Kevin Franzen, were getting ready for exhibition baseball that never happened. The Nats and the Orioles rained out at Nationals Park. But that was the big news in D.C. sports, and Bob is kind enough to join us now on our guest hotline to discuss season number 20 for him calling Nats games and one final ride this year at the mic. Bob, it is great to have you on the show. Danny's out sick today, so it's me and Toby. How are you?
Hey, good to talk to you guys. Grant, good to see you at the ballpark yesterday. And I noticed that you, unbeknownst to me, took a kind of a covert picture of us while we were on camera through the window in our booth door. Did you do that?
That was a high-definition, brand-new cell phone award-winning photo that I took.
Well done. While we were on camera, I saw somebody doing something in the window over there, but I couldn't tell what it was. And then a little bit later, I saw your post. So well done by you.
Well, I hope it wasn't too distracting. But there's a lot to get into here. But you said in the announcement yesterday, you know, call me whatever you want to, primary. There's no primary. You are the play-by-play television face and voice of Nationals baseball, and you have been for 20 years since day one for so many of us with this ball club. It's been you in the booth, so you're synonymous with this team every bit as much as a Wirth or a Zimmerman or anybody else. In fact, you've been there more and longer than those guys. When we turn on the TV, it's been you. So this is going to be quite a transition for a lot of people, but how'd you come to the decision?
Well, you know, Grant, I'm a guy who kind of looks for signals, and I believe that things happen for a reason. And over the off season, our kids moved with their kids back to Oklahoma from Seattle. We had not, you know, we'd been far, far apart for a long time. And so suddenly the grandkids are showing up, and I'm running over to their house. And they actually lived with us for a couple of months. Boy, was Grandma glad to get her house back when they finally found a place to live. But and then we lost Deb's mom right before Christmas after a long illness. And it was an off-season of transition for us. And so, you know, I've been thinking about this for a while. Initially, I thought I was going to retire a couple of years ago when I became a 70-40 man, 70 years old, 40 years in the big leagues. And, you know, I saw this young team and I saw some things happening, and I was still excited about doing baseball. Not that I'm not now, but I just, you know, that was 2 years ago. And so now we've got some things going on at home. I've been married to my beloved Debbie for 45 years. She tells our friends I've been home for half of it. And, you know, it's kind of a joke, but it's in a way it's funny, in a way it's not.
That's
and
the key so to a great marriage, right? Just being away as much as possible.
She's unbelievable. The girl is absolutely unbelievable. Great mom, and now she's blossomed as a grandma and the best wife a guy could ever ask to have. So I'm very, very blessed in that respect. And I met your wife the other day down in spring training, and your little guy, you know what I'm talking about. The whole family thing, it changes your life. And I just thought that, you know, I'm 72 years old. I got this job, Grant, when I was 53. I mean, who's out looking for 53-year-old announcers? Of course, now I can kid Dave Sims because he's 70 or 71, and the Yankees just hired him to come back home from Seattle and do the Yankee games on radio. So, you know, maybe the age thing doesn't mean what it used to. But it just seemed like a really good time for me. And I'm so grateful to Mark Lerner and Alan Gottlieb, my two direct contact guys. We've been talking about my schedule for the last couple of years. They've been wonderful about letting me, first of all, cut it back and take some time off. And then, you know, now we're talking about this. And I had a meeting with both of them down in West Palm Beach last week. It was awesome. Spent about an hour and a half with those guys. And, you know, we're all about the same age. And the great thing about it is, Grant, I work for them, but we're also friends. And yeah, that's pretty rare. I guess that only happens maybe late in your career. And I got to hand it to Alan. He said something to me about 4 years ago. We were talking about my schedule getting cut back a little bit. He said, you know, Bob, he said, we want you to work here as long as you want to. And I looked at him and said, we never hear that in broadcasting. Are you kidding me? Nobody has ever said that to me before. And, you know, whatever the job pays or whatever, you know, it is to sit in the booth and watch a Major League Baseball game every day, to hear that from somebody that you work for, it's unbelievable. And I will never, ever forget that.
Bob, it's a pleasure to talk to you. You've been here every step of the way, basically, with the Nationals, and you've seen kind of this grow from the team returning to D.C. to eventually a World Series in 19 to now. How have you seen the fan base and the way that the city has embraced the Nationals change over the years?
Well, you know, it's interesting because they had been without baseball for, what, about 33 years when that first pitch was thrown in 05. I wasn't here for that first year. Of all of our broadcasters, only Charlie was here in 05, and then Dave came aboard on radio, and I came aboard TV in 06. So the passion that our fans have for baseball and for the Nats really hasn't, in my opinion, the passion part of it was there from the beginning. And hopefully, you know, we've attracted thousands and tens of thousands of more fans as we've gone along. But, you know, I think everybody's always known that this area is great for baseball. We just never had any teams before with the Senators that, you know, were able to compete very much in the American League. And I know for a while they were considered a farm club of the Yankees, as were the Kansas City A's, always, you know, players leaving and heading up that way. And so, you know, baseball's been a big deal around here for a long time, and it's great that it's finally come full circle back to the Nats. So I think somebody in St. Louis, because the Cardinals let me out of the last year of my contract in 06 to come here. I was only doing like 40, 45 TV games a year for them. So it wasn't that big of a deal. But I remember one of the writers asking me about leaving St. Louis, my hometown. I worked for the Cardinals. My sister worked there for 52 years in the front office. We've got 94 years between us in Major League Baseball now, by the way. And I said, you know what? I feel like I'm leaving a great baseball city to go to the next great baseball city in America. And it took a little while, culminating in 19. And I still feel that way about D.C., that it's a wonderful baseball area. Having said that, you got to win to pack the ballpark, and hopefully we're on the road back to doing that.
Yeah, we'll talk about this team in the 2025 season in just a bit. Bob Carpenter is with us after making the announcement that this will be his 20th and his final year in the booth in D.C., 42 years calling games. In this final season, it's so hard. I always think about the comp I have, I guess, would be my wedding, where like everyone was like, hey, make sure you just soak it up. And you stop and you look around and you try to really make it last. There's no way to do that. You know this like I do. It's going to fly by, but you got to make the attempt. Like, what are some of your goals in that way? I love that you made the announcement before the start of the season so that you can kind of take those moments and try to enjoy it and hopefully, you know, get some of the reverence and the love that you deserve along the way also.
Well, and I got to tell you that to approach it that way, that was kind of the idea of Wendy Bailey over at the Nats. She's my, I guess you, I actually work for Mass, and I'm employed by Mass, but, you know, close relationship with the Nats. But, you know, but Wendy told me a year or two ago, and Jackie Coleman, who was here before that, a wonderful lady. You know, I had been discussing this with Jackie and then Wendy when she took over. And both of them had said strikingly the same thing to me. We hope that you let us know early enough when you make the decision so that we can honor you and then you can really enjoy your last time around the block. And it turned out I hadn't really thought about it that much, Grant, in terms of that approach. And it really got me to thinking, wow, what a cool thing that would be. To get to this point, it took a lot of thought. You know, it took some prayer on the part of Debbie and me, and we talked about this a lot. I mean, we've been building up to this for quite a while. And I got to give those ladies some credit for, you know, planting that seed in my mind. Now it's happened. And here's the funny thing about yesterday, Grant. I heard you talking about us coming on the air. This was going to be like a one-minute announcement. Franny was going to come in and say something. And then we were going to go to commercial. And Dan was going to come out of commercial with a quick interview with Davey down by the dugout and then first pitch. Well, the rain delay happens. And then it turns out that myself and Franny and Dan, you know, we sit around talking for about 10 or 12 minutes because we had time to fill. And, you know, Franny and Dan, you know, great friends, guys I work with, known for a long time. They were both so awesome to me yesterday. You know, it got a little emotional in the booth when, you know, I kind of let them know what was going on because we kept it pretty quiet. But it was really cool the way it kind of turned out that, you know, the tarp went on the field and then the lid came off the telecast as we talked amongst ourselves about me for a while. But then, we got around to talking about the ball club and all that. And maybe that's my segue into your next question. But it was kind of cool the way it all shook out yesterday. And I liked it because I really was able to look into the camera and let our Nats fans know how I feel about them. Because you can talk about who you work for, what the ball club is, how much money you make, you know, yada, 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 down the line. But for me, and I grew up in a place where the fans love baseball. For me here in D.C., it's a relationship between myself, Franny, Dan, and the fans. That's the most important thing because, you know, every night we're here to announce a ball game. You're inviting us into your living room. We want to entertain you. We want to inform you. We want to give you an honest call, good or bad, on how the team's going. And I think we've accomplished that. And it was pretty awesome that we had a couple of extra minutes yesterday for me to express those things.
Bob, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but just thinking back.
Go ahead.
Thinking back on your time here, what are some of your favorite memories of calling Nats games, whether it's with the broadcasters you're working with the team, whatever it may be?
Well, you know, on the field, and that's what I'd like to focus on, obviously, getting to know Ryan Zimmerman, Mr. National, the total look of exhilaration and relief on Ryan's face that night in 2012 in the first base dugout when we clinched our first playoff spot. And we were in the midst of losing a game, but we clinched postseason that night. You know, and then as we moved along, the Jordan Zimmerman no-hitter, which is probably the most electrifying moment I've ever called. You know, I called a lot of McGuire's homers and all that stuff back in 98 and some other division clinchers and stuff. But for a singular moment on the last play of the season, with Steven Souza making that unbelievable catch. And, you know, Jordan and Wilson Ramos being the only two guys on the field who started that game on the last day of the season. That was probably the most electrifying moment. Well, then comes, you know, and before that, Steven Strasburg's major league debut when he mowed down 14 Pirates. Unbelievable. You know, and then comes Max with the two no-hitters, the 20-strikeout game, the Kurt Suzuki homer, in the bottom of the ninth when the Nats scored seven runs to beat the Mets in September of 19. That was an electrifying moment. I mean, I could name off dozens and dozens, but those are the ones that kind of jump out at me. You know, guys, because on local TV, our season is the regular season. Charlie and Dave get the privilege and the honor of calling the postseason games on radio. We don't get that. So, you know, those moments during the season are the ones we hang our hats on, and those are the ones I remember most.
Well, after the announcement, Danny and I were live on the air yesterday, and the anecdote I told, the first thing that came to mind in our personal relationship with you, you probably will not remember this because I was just a portly fella in your way, but one of the real thrills for me of the World Series run was when you were relegated to fan number seven or whatever. You stood in the booth in Houston watching the World Series with me and Danny standing behind Charlie and Dave because there wasn't a seat to be had in the joint. And so we were all in the booth. So I got to watch the World Series right next to Bob Carpenter, which was pretty good. Dave still makes fun of Danny for how much he nervously ate during game one of that World Series.
Well, I had my share of trips to the concession stand, too. No, I remember that, Grant. And, you know, that happened to us in St. Louis. It happened to us in San Francisco, L.A., all the other places where the Nats, Chicago, Wrigley Field, they didn't have room for us anywhere. I don't know where FP went. He probably found a bar in the ballpark somewhere.
he was not there, I can assure you. Yeah.
Yeah, he was having a couple of pops, and I was, you know, I was trying to keep score because I wanted, you know, I had fans ask me, are you going to keep score the postseason games even though you're not doing them? And I hadn't really thought about it, and then I decided to do it. So I know that I've been in the booth with Charlie and Dave. I remember at Dodger Stadium sitting on an overturned trash can next to Jack in the back of the booth and, you know, watching those games. And in San Francisco, there was no room for anybody to do anything because that ball, the ballpark footprint there is so small. Chip Winfield, my producer, he and I, we'd be done with our pregame show about 15 minutes before the game. We left the ballpark, took a cab back to the hotel. We'd watch about seven innings on TV. I'm grabbing lunch and everything back at the hotel. And then he and I get back in a cab and head back over to the Giants ballpark so we could do our postgame deal. So, you know, all kind of crazy scenarios. And it was tough for me because in my entire career, I've only called four postseason games. Those were on radio with the Cardinals back in the LCS in 96. Jack Buck got sick and had to miss four games. I called games 4, 5, 6, and 7. Cardinals are up 3-1. They lost 3 in a row, and the Braves went to the World Series to play the Yankees. So those are the only postseason games I've ever gotten the call. I treasured those. In fact, the future National was on that team, and Dimitri Young, who had a big hit in game 4, and I'll never forget that. So, yeah, the whole postseason thing was kind of unusual. But I remember all of us crammed into that tiny booth in Houston, and, you know, it was a pain in the rear end at the time, but it turns into a pretty good memory.
Bob, appreciate the time. Always great. Can't wait to hear you on the call on Thursday.
Well, guys, the Phillies are in town. It's a whole new ball game, so here we go. And, Grant, I just want you to know that you and Danny, Philly, all you guys, you've been fantastic to me over the years. I really appreciate it. And we'll look forward to seeing you at the ballpark all year long as we go one more time around the block here.
Yeah, let's do it. And we'll enjoy not only watching ball, but celebrating what has been in just an incredible career. You should be very, very proud. And just the way you carry yourself and the way you treat everybody is something to look up to, one of the good guys in the business. So we appreciate you, Bob. Thank you.
Gentlemen, thank you so much.
You got it. Bob Carpenter, the 20th season on the call of the Nats on Masson, will be his 42nd and final in a booth, joining us on Grant and Danny.
Hello, it's opening day for the Washington Nats.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nationals, mm-hmm. They're taking on the Phillies at Nationals Park. Gates open at 2:00. Game time is 4:05. JP told me during the break the first pitch being thrown out by Tom Boswell. I saw also a special guest appearance by Dave Bautista.
Wow.
Making an appearance at Nationals Park today for Nats Phillies opening day.
I've always loved opening day. I used to skip school.
Opening day is always cool.
During the days of like high school,
sure,
and college, I was a huge Orioles fan at the time.
It's a big thing, yeah.
And loved opening day. And I got to tell you, just parking my car, mm-hmm, and then seeing that the lights were on at the stadium, yeah, which you didn't see
because
you drive in a different way.
I totally missed it.
It made me feel a certain way. I mean, there's a lot going on today. We're talking about Willard, the NCAA, mm-hmm, yep, tournament. Big article in the Washington Post this morning about your guy, James Wood,
yeah,
who, you know, you have kind of a relationship with through his dad, who you played college basketball with at the University of Richmond.
Well, he came in after me, but yeah, I've known him for
and
a while.
By the way, let me just clarify. James Wood, only native. Because sometimes he gets billed as Rockville native.
All right.
The O-Town has to claim a stud like James Wood.
Where'd he go to high school?
As one of our own.
St. John's
College High School. And then
yeah,
he went to IMG.
Down to Florida, yeah.
Yeah.
But Kenny, who's his dad,
yeah,
he lives right near you.
Yeah, I believe if you looked at Kenny's any mail.
I think he probably lives within
a
half a mile.
I think a mile or so.
Yeah.
But if you look at mail that goes to Kenny Wood's house,
yeah,
the mailing address, only, comma,
I do believe that.
MD.
Do you know this? When he was playing other sports as a child,
yes,
like 6 and 7, now
okay,
on a tangent.
Right.
8 years old, he was playing, you know, flag football or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Did he play for only Boys and Girls Club?
That I do not know. I don't know all of his origin story.
But you want to claim only.
Well, I claim where he grew up. The house that he grew up in?
Right.
I know that address.
Right. You're right. It's not Rockville.
I think you might have Stephon Diggs, too, although I've heard he's Gaithersburg, his house was.
I would like to claim Stephon Diggs if I could.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But isn't opening day cool, though?
Yes.
I mean,
because
it's
the anticipation, and it's crazy because it's a super long season of 162 games.
Yeah.
But for the last couple of seasons, the expectations were low, and I'm not saying the expectations are high this year. The expectations were low, but you had these prospects that were in the minor leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they're all up.
Correct.
A lot of them are up. The majority of them are up. So you've got James Wood, big article in the Washington Post about him today, how he's not a loud guy.
He's very chill.
He's a chill guy.
Yeah.
But he has a potential for superstardom. We know about Dylan Cruz,
mm-hmm,
so that's exciting. They'll have Mackenzie Gore on the bump tonight.
C.J. Abrams, who had a
right,
really good, certainly had a really good first half last year.
Just got to keep him out of the casino.
Tailed off a little
morning.
Bit.
I'm going to guess that Mike Rizzo had a sit down with him probably immediately after the casino incident and said,
"Oh, I'm sure
this is a time for you to just take your medicine, learn a hard lesson. You're a talented player, but you're a young player. You made a mistake, and hopefully, you're not going to see a hiccup like that again from him."
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that you're not going to see any more stories about him being in the casino until 5 in the morning on a game day. I'm going to guess you're not going to see that.
That's not going to happen this year.
I think he learned his lesson.
But, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you've got certainly at the top of the lineup, and the projected lineup is going to be Abrams, Cruz, and Wood. We'll see where they are hitting tonight or today. But, yeah, I mean, you've got three really good young hitters. You've got some other young players like Garcia and Ruiz and Jacob Young, who had a good year last year, certainly running the bases. You got Mackenzie Gore.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that are just looking forward to seeing these young guys kind of blossom.
Yeah.
And hopefully C.J. Abrams can get better from where he was last year. Let's see what happens with Cruz and Wood. Wood had a really good spring. He missed the first 10 or 12 games because he had tendonitis in his knee, but when he was finally in there, he had a really good spring. So hopefully that progresses, and I don't know. They're not going to make the playoffs, But you just want to see them get into that mid-70s to maybe high 70s win total. And if they play really well and out of their minds, maybe they get to 80 and they kind of flirt with a wild card spot. I don't think they're going to be in that position.
You want to go quickly through SI.com has five bold predictions for the Nats that they put out about a week ago before the season started. First, they start slow but finish strong because they obviously open with the Phillies. Then they close out their first four series stretch against the Dodgers.
Okay.
So they have some tough opponents early.
Right.
So you might get a little discouraged by some of the early results because they're facing basically four playoff caliber teams right out of the gate, including
it's Phillies
and Dodgers.
Phillies.
They're bookended by Phillies to start and then Dodgers at the end.
Gotcha.
I haven't looked at the entire April schedule yet. So they say they're going to start slow but finish strong for the season. Their second bold prediction is that Dylan Cruz is the NL Rookie of the Year runner-up.
That would be...
because he's competing with Roki Sasaki from the Dodgers.
Yeah.
They feel like he's the leader in the clubhouse, but that Dylan Cruz could be the NL Rookie of the Year runner-up. So if that's the case, that definitely bodes well for the Nationals.
Oh, if he's the Rookie of the Year, of course.
If he's in the running for
it. So the Nats are, they open up with Philly here, three games. Then they go to Toronto for three. Then the Arizona D-backs come in, and then the Dodgers come in for three. So at least you've got three out of the first four here. But you're right, they're playing certainly three playoff caliber teams, if not four.
The third bold prediction here is a second baseman, Luis Garcia Jr., is named an NL All-Star. Last year it was C.J. Abrams. He represented Washington in the All-Star game. This year it will be Garcia Jr. So another step from him would be a good omen for this Nats team. And the fourth is that James Wood has a breakout year.
Yeah, I mean, now these are bold predictions. Right? They're very bold.
Right.
Well, look, Wood played in about half the games last year. But in the second half of the season, he led the team in hits, home runs, and RBI.
Yeah.
They're predicting he'll slash around 260, 360, 500 with 25 ding-dongers.
Look, if he's got 25...
that's a big number.
Because Abrams led the team in homers last year. You can't have that. Not with these other bats.
No, you need some more pop.
But it would be nice. I mean, if Abrams can go out there and pop 20 or 22, I mean, that's awesome for your leadoff hitter. But if James Woods has 25 bombs... I mean, that's just a bomb year for him.
And the final prediction is their record prediction from SI.com for the Nats is 76-86.
Ooh.
Getting closer to 500.
I officially locked in my bet yesterday.
So that's the bold prediction. Because Jeff Passan, who is the ESPN baseball insider, did his predictions for all of the teams and ranked every one of the teams. And he had the record for the Nats at 68.
I don't like that. Not feeling that.
I think it's going to be over 60. I think it's going to be in the low 70s, if not mid 70s.
Hope that's the case.
Unless they have some crazy injuries. But you just don't want to see them get worse.
Right. Can't backslide.
Right.
No, and then one would hope, like we hoped last offseason, that the next offseason they go out and spend some money.
Well, that's what we were kind of hoping this year, but it depends on who the owner is, if it's still going to be Lerner, and what these young guys do. If the young guys really get better, then I'm sure they'll probably look at adding at least one big piece.
Talking more Nats coming up at 9 o'clock with Dan Colco, the Nationals broadcaster, who had hip surgery not too long ago and got married this offseason.
A big offseason for Dan Colco.
Looking at his Instagram. But, I wonder about the pitching depth.
Hmm. Well, Gore's got to be that guy. Gore, he had a good year last year, but he's got to become... like a true number one guy. He's got to get even better. And if his ERA can be in that 3.5 range, 3.7, then that's what you're hoping for. Irvin, Parker, all those guys. We'll see how they had injuries in the start of rotation last year that kind of killed them. So that's why you saw a lot of these young guys come up. But you're right. Let's hope that these guys stay healthy and get better.
Yeah.
Because, everyone's looking forward to opening day, but after the first 20 games, if they've only got 6 or 7 wins, then you're not as happy.
By the way, among NL pitchers last year, Gore ranked 7th in strikeouts per 9 innings.
Mm-hmm.
Look at you, baseball cakes.
And I'll be honest, I've never heard these words strung together before, so Jason, maybe you can explain for me. His squared up contact percentage was ninth lowest among all pitchers.
Well, it just means he's having batters. He's having batters who aren't hitting the ball hard.
Yeah, they're just
okay. Just think of that. Think of it in reverse. What does the squared up batting percentage mean for the hitter?
I have no
idea.
You
want it to be as high as possible because it means you're having the best contact.
I've never heard squared up contact percentage before in my life. Before reading this article, I'm just being honest.
It's just one of those metrics.
Yeah.
I mean, but the fact that he was seventh lowest, that's good.
It's a great thing.
Yeah.
From August 23rd to the end of the season, he was fifth in baseball with a 1.55 ERA. So the metrics for him are there.
They are there.
Like, just build on that.
Well, yeah, score is going to be good. The question is, and some of these guys, I think, outperformed their expectations in previous years, but is Jake Irvin and Mitchell Parker, are those guys going to be good?
We'll see.
Or are they just...
What about Michael Soroka?
I need
to know what he's going to do.
I think he had an injury. He was with Atlanta, and then he had an injury. So, he's just the bottom of the rotation guy. But, we'll see. A lot of these guys, there's just question marks. But with the top four, Abrams, Cruz, Wood, Gore, those four guys, I think you should expect some decent numbers.
You locked in your season win total bet?
Of course.
Very good.
70.5.
We're both in. I got 70.5 too.
Yep. I made
a pretty sizable wager.
I'm in the low hundreds on it.
I mean, I'm 150.
Yeah. Okay.
It's
about what I'm.
It's like a dollar per game. It's 162 games, so it's fine. It's a season long sweat. I'm good with it.
But it gives you interest for the entire year.
Absolutely.
And let's see what happens today. Zach Wheeler going for Philly. He's tough.
Irvin with 6 strikeouts. He's ready. The windup, the 1-2 pitch on the way. Swing and a miss. He blew it by him up and out of the zone at 94. Strikeout number 7 for Jake Irvin. He has finished 7 one-hit shutout innings here on the 4th of July.
That's the voice of Dave Jagler. That was one of my favorite games of last year. Jake Irvin walking off the mound. Now, he actually told us in spring training with his big Michael Phelps outside the pool gold medal winning primal scream where he went nuts. He said he actually cost himself a chance at a complete game because he thought he had enough in the tank. And then after that, he got back and he was kind of seeing the stars a little bit. And he's like, oh, no. He just shot everything he had left in the gun.
Well, but then we would have been denied Derek Law riding in the bullpen cart with the American flag on the 4th of July, which was awesome.
We brought that up to him, and he's like, you know what? It's probably a good thing.
And it's a good thing Law got the save because if you have that entrance and then you – you don't get it done, then it's. But it was a perfect day.
Law told us he wants a bobblehead.
You know what we need to tell about Jake then? If he used all his emotion to scream, we tell him that's okay because Ramon Ortiz lost his energy for a no hitter by hitting a home run.
Yeah, that's true.
Labor Day 2006.
That's right. If not for the home run, he probably has a no hitter.
Absolutely.
Which would you rather have? Yeah, but Law, who's a hilarious guy, said to us in spring training, he's like, I actually really thought I was going to get my first bobblehead with the flag and everything, which actually would have been great. But I guess not surprisingly, Derek Law did not make the cut this year for the bobblehead.
Generally, middle relievers, not big bobblehead candidates. But
I can't call this an annual tradition. What is every other year? Is that semi-annual?
Biannual?
Biannual. I never know if that's like twice a year. We'll go semi-annual.
Okay.
Charlie, 2 years ago, we had you read a bunch of things that the kids are saying now. I want you to do this again with some of the new terms that the kids are using, if you don't mind. So, ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Slows.
Which one do you want me to pick?
All of these. Yes.
All
using the kids' terms to talk about the Washington Nationals.
Jacob Young could low-key win a gold glove. No cap.
What do you think that means?
I think he'd win a gold glove, no problem.
No problem. All right. No cap is no lies detected. Like, dead serious.
Okay. No problem would be serious.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm in my Dylan Cruz era. I'm in my Dylan Cruz sweatshirt.
That's true. That, by the way, the new City Connect colors are beautiful.
Yeah.
That sweatshirt you're wearing is awesome.
It is awesome.
You can see it on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page right now.
I'm in my Dylan Cruz era. Well, then you're like a top draft pick, right? You're going to be a star.
I honestly don't know what that one means. I'm not young enough. I think it means like your sights for Dylan Cruz this year.
James Wood is goated. That means he's chance to be a greatest of all time.
Right. I think that one's easy.
C.J. Abrams has aura. Does he have an aura ring?
I don't think that's what that means. I think that's
he has
like,
an aura about him, the way he goes. Yeah, the way he goes about himself. Let Gore cook. Let him throw gas.
I'll take that.
Jake Irvin has great drip. Would that be his breaking ball?
Definitely isn't. No, most certainly it's not.
That's has great drip. Is it coffee? I don't know. Is it good drip coffee?
That means he dresses well.
See, I would have had that for C.J. Abrams. Yeah. Great trip. The vibes in the Nats clubhouse are immaculate. Of course, they're great.
That's easy.
Yeah. Striking out is my ick.
What do you think?
Well, we all know ick is not a good thing.
In this case, ick is a wonderful thing.
Striking out is my, if you were a hitter, I would have thought, striking out my ick would be bad. And ick is like grosses you out.
All right, here we go.
Davey understood the assignment. That could mean a lot of things.
Just means like Davey knew what he had to do.
Okay. The new city connects a straight fire. That's easy. Right? The way they look. The food at Nats Park slaps.
What do you think that means?
Well, he gave him his own sound effect.
He did, too.
Slaps.
Slaps. What does slaps mean?
I don't know. It hits you upside the head. It's that good. It slaps you.
Exactly.
The taste is so good.
It's a banger.
It's a slap. Ballpark glizzies hit different. I don't know what a glizzy is. The lights?
You don't know what a glizzy is?
No.
What's if you're glizzy? Eating a glizzy, what are you eating?
I don't know. Something sounds like it'd be something cold.
It's a hot dog.
Okay, I was wrong. Did you know these or did you have to look these up?
Beforehand? No. These are, they were provided by our young staff.
Oh, okay.
But these are, I have heard these terms. Let's do one more here. How about this one?
Luis Garcia has W Riz. That's how you read that, right? W Riz?
Correct, yeah.
That one
that's
I have not
no Mike
clue.
Rizzo.
No,
not
it's not
Mike Rizzo, right?
Riz, he's got charisma.
W Riz is a W.
W is like a win, okay, right? He's got good Riz. Jags, Bob Carpenter, final year. Mensch, great to have around the ballpark. Kind of love that he's going to get the send-off this season.
Yeah, Bob is awesome. I mean, we came in the same year in 2006. I knew Bob before that. We crossed paths in basketball. Just, you know, a lot of guys have pretty big egos in this business. Bob is one of the most selfless, caring individuals that you'll come across in this business. So a great friend, and I'm just, you know, glad that he, you know, is going to get to spend the time that he wants with his grandkids are going to be around with him. And, you know, 20 years with the Nats, awesome, and over 40 years doing big league baseball. Just to tell you what a pro he is, when he worked at ESPN and they would bring in a new analyst, you know, former manager, former player, their first game in the booth, they would always pair him with Bob Carpenter.
No way.
He was the break-in guy.
What a
because
great compliment.
He is so awesome to work with, and he's just, you know, it wasn't about him. It wasn't about, hey, I got to be the star doing this. He would go out of his way to make the analyst, you know, for TV, the analyst is the star of the show. And so, you know, for a guy who was a break-in, you know, let Bob do the nuts and bolts, and he'll set you up and you follow along. That just speaks to how great he is to work with.
People don't remember the first, like, college football scoreboard show that ESPN ever did. Bob was the host in the studio for ESPN. I mean, he did a lot of different things. When I was a year out of college and went to St. Louis, Bob was the big soccer announcer for the St. Louis Steamers indoor soccer. This was before he got involved with the Cardinals in Major League Baseball. So that's I've known Bob since 1984.
Wow.
And I remember when I went to Tampa Bay to do baseball and I left the Bullets, Bob was just starting out with the scorebook. And he goes, what do you think? Tell me what you think. What changes? What would you change? What, you know, so some of the things in there we had talked about, I said, well, I'd like more room for this and more, you know. Pretty much maximize the pages for what you can get on them. And his book gets you, 15 innings, right? Nobody else's scorecard or scorebook.
No,
200 games, which is perfect if you do 15 spring training, 162, and about 20 postseason games. We fit the entire 2019 season in a book all the way to Game 7 of the World Series.
Actually,
we did a spring training game. I don't know if you were there. There were three plays. There was a caught stealing with an error. there was a strikeout pass ball, and there was a sack fly where Altuve dropped the ball.
Yes.
So you had three plays in the game where the scoring was an out, where no out was recorded. I'm like, if, you know, we're immediately referencing Scorebook Bob. So he's right. Got this whole second, you know, social media persona career because if something wacky happens,
because people would then on,
hey Bob, tech, how do you score this?
We're on Twitter and
so
and
Altuve drops a fly ball with a runner at third. He was going to tag up and score. So it's a sack fly,
E7.
But it's a sack fly E7 because Altuve dropped the ball and a second run scored. So you score at sack fly E7.
And I was
we got to have Scorebook Bob on.
I have to ask him probably once a homestand about something that catch up on something that happened. How did you score that? He'll take it out right there and show you the scorebook.
It's the Chris Russell Show featuring Brian Mitchell and occasionally JP Finley live on the Team 980. Finley may or may not have a job for another half hour. We'll find out. We are live, Nats Park.
I'm sure you could get one of your other jobs to fill in the void.
We'll see.
Oh, you got a lot of them.
Half
Bruce,
Street.
What's the name of the song right
what
here?
Is the name of the song? Craig in Lampville.
This is Janet Jackson.
Jesus. Janet Jackson, more like Freddie Jackson. Come on. You know more than that.
Not no damn Janet Jackson.
You want me to give you the right answer?
Turn it up,
Lampville.
You want
me to give you the funny answer?
Give the right answer.
Beat it! No one else wants to be defeated!
Please don't flee.
You gotta show them how funky.
Does it? Do you remember that you once thought that was Thriller? You said that.
Yeah, you did.
You honestly said that Beat It was Thriller.
So that's how I knew that was Beat It instead of Thriller because I had already embarrassed
myself
the first time.
Yeah. I'm going to let you count
now I know.
Beat It and Thriller. How many more Michael Jackson songs can you name?
Billie Jean is Not My Lover.
That's three.
Right?
Yeah.
I know the Jackson 5 really well.
Oh, hit it.
I mean, ABC.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah. What other songs?
I know the Jackson 5
there.
Really well.
I'll be there. Okay, go ahead.
What else?
Just keep
the man was in what? The what?
I don't know. Oh, the man in the mirror.
The man in the boat.
Well, that's not the Jackson 5, right? That's just Michael.
There you go. All right.
We asked him.
Bruce is a musical expert.
Yeah.
Now, if we asked him about who do you love? The Eagles.
The Eagles. Not the Philadelphia Eagles, but the Eagles. Don Henley.
Now, clearly you've never seen
Glenn Kline.
The Great Lebowski.
Yeah.
Have you not seen The Great Lebowski?
I've seen parts of it. I'm not a big movie guy. Movies kind of generally suck.
Okay. There you have it. Chris Russell, movie critic.
Yeah.
From the mouth of Chris Russell.
I tuned in. I wound up checking out Aurora, which won like all the Oscars and whatever. It was a porn film for the first 40 minutes.
The horniest man on the internet, Chris Russell.
I turned it off. It was ridiculous. And all these idiots that vote on this stuff in the Oscars, and people go, take it all seriously. They're horrible movies.
Well, actually, most of the movies that win Oscars, we probably never saw them.
We do a running bit that we've never heard of any of.
Yeah. Well, that I had never
I don't think it's really a bit.
I had never
heard
of
it. You know what movie I liked? Air. How they made Air Jordans.
Yeah, this is
an Oscar.
This is just why I don't watch movies.
Most movies that win Oscars,
right.
We haven't heard of them until that night.
I watch sports. I watch wrestling, which is sports entertainment.
Have you gone to watch wrestling? He would really like you to go watch wrestling with him.
No.
Why?
Because he want to drink mimosas with me.
Can
no,
you,
ain't happening.
Rooster, will you guarantee a mimosa-free wrestling experience?
Yes.
You do have to wear tights, B.
No, I'm not doing
B,
that.
B, I have plenty of Scotty's handcrafted vodka, Maryland made.
Do you have tights you
amazingly
can
smooth.
Amazingly smooth.
And love throughout the DMV.
Doc got me a bottle of Russell's whiskey that I haven't cracked open yet.
Well, I have
Crown Royal.
For the record, yes. I wanted to do a Caps preview. I just want the world to know. I wanted to let Rooster flex his hockey knowledge in this segment, and instead, he wants to talk wrestling. It's hard to keep this train on the tracks. I did want to ask Lampfield a quick series of questions. Landini, I know how much you love going out in public. So your options are staying in the studio where you are comfortably, or you could be at Ann and Half Street with what is a significantly growing crowd by the minute.
Oh, it's getting big.
Live with me and B. Mitch and Rooster.
His best friend.
However, Lampfield, we have Tap 99 has generously provided us with hamburgers, chicken wings, pizza, and all-you-can-drink fountain soda. What would you pick?
That does, all you can drink fountain soda sounds pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
But you got to hang with Rooster.
I do have to hang with. I kind of like hanging with the Rooster. I get to antagonize him.
Yeah. And you love the soup that I made for you? I handcrafted it.
You did make some soup for me. That was very generous.
You opened it, poured it in a bowl, and heated it up.
I didn't even do that, Ben.
He just gave him the can in the bowl. Caps.
No, I probably deserve, you guys probably deserve a nice home-cooked meal from me at some point here.
Caps are in Minnesota tonight.
Yes.
They are such a wagon. How close are they to clinching the one seed?
Don't know exactly the answer to that because they have only got the 1 point lead over the Winnipeg Jets. So
yeah, but
I mean,
the
it's
one
gonna
seed
come...
in the East.
Oh, the one seed in the East.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact magic number. If
I mean,
you
they're
will,
at 103.
They're pretty damn close.
The Hurricanes are at 90.
Yeah. I mean, now they play the Canes next Wednesday in Raleigh.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, right? Because that's only like 4 hours away. If Ovi has a big run here, he could break the record in Raleigh next Wednesday night.
Do you still believe Ovi now needs 6 in 11 games, I think?
Yeah.
Do you believe Ovi gets it done?
I do not think he gets it done
in this regular season.
Yeah, you got to put positivity.
I said in this regular season. Hold on. To everyone that can hear me right now, do you think Alex Ovechkin will break Wayne Gretzky's goal record? Woo! Let's hear it. Yeah! All right. So everybody thinks they will. Chris Russell, do you think Ovi will break the record this season?
No.
Oh, boo.
I think he'll break it next season on opening night.
He's going to have a hat trick tonight.
When they raise a second Stanley Cup banner, which is all I care about.
Listen, obviously we all want them to go deep in the playoffs and win another cup, but you're allowed to want the Ovi record to happen this year.
I didn't say I didn't want it to happen. You said, do you think it will happen? I said, no. I gave you an honest response. To get booed and basically harassed by all of these fine people.
But a moment ago, you were telling people to buy tickets for the Raleigh game because he might break it there.
We're going to send you back to the glam slam.
You know, I just throw out a lot of things like pasta on the wall and see
if it sticks. We're going to send him to Minnesota to the glam slam.
I don't know what that means. But
that's where Prince used to perform.
Oh, all right.
He had a purple shirt today. You forgot?
Why do you have a dress shirt with you?
So, I don't know where. Oh, here it is. So, here's the deal.
Show everyone on the street. Right?
Purple
so
rain.
Here's the deal. This is, in my opinion, like a pink or a salmon.
Everybody else
is telling me it's lilac
it's
or
lilac.
Purple.
It's lilac.
It is not Philadelphia Phillies colors. Screw the Phillies. They suck. I hate the Phillies. This is not Philadelphia Phillies colors.
I don't know what's going on, but currently both Nats fans and Phillies fans are booing Rooster.
Bring it on.
All right, hold on. I have so many questions, Chris.
Why did I bring the shirt?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to the game after my show, which ends at 4 o'clock. When you guys get on out of here and go do whatever it is
are
that you do.
Are you not going opening day?
We go to work, man.
Go to work.
Whatever it is that you do. At 4 o'clock, I'm going to waddle myself right across the street.
Why you got to waddle?
And around home plate, go in the media side, get my season credential, go up to the press box, which is 10 floors up, and watch some opening day baseball. So I wanted to look like, I don't know, kind of a human being. Put on a little cologne. I took a shower.
All the human beings today have on red, blue, or white.
What?
Even the ones that's in the damn press box.
Yeah, see, okay, so look at all these Phillies fans. This is not a Phillies shirt. It's not a national shirt either. It's not a national shirt. I'm a member of the media.
Oh, he don't want to know who he's cheering for.
He's cheering for the Mets.
I'm not.
I think everybody here can boo the Mets.
I'm not cheering for the Mets.
You're a Met fan.
Screw the Mets. Let's go Nats.
Rooster out here cutting wrestling promos. I have something sincere to say. I think you and I are actually friends beneath all the ball busting.
I'm glad to hear that because I didn't know if you guys actually like me.
Well, that's a whole different ball
of
wax.
Like
I'm saying we're friends.
Yes.
You don't like all your friends.
Yeah. I don't like most of my friends.
Right. I like you guys too.
Grab that shirt. I'm going to teach you a secret. Uh-huh. Grab that shirt.
What's the secret?
Doug, when you have a dress shirt on a hanger,
right.
Yeah.
One, don't use a... Button crappy wire hanger.
Button the top.
Button the top button.
You know, it's a good point.
And you see how your collar looks like it's going to fly away?
And put tie stays in the damn tie. I mean,
do you know what tie stays, what collar stays are?
I do. Here's the thing. Listen, I am an absolute mess. There is no denying that I am an absolute mess. I can't find my dress
shoes. Make sure you copy that with Landfill.
I can't tie a tie. I'm 51 years old. I still have never been able to tie a tie correctly in my life. I'm an absolute disaster.
Hold on, let me see this thing.
What?
I don't know that you helped. Brian, look at what this looks like now that he buttoned it.
Listen, I'm not trying to look like J.P. Finley on NBC4. I'm just trying to not look like a complete slob.
Doug, all right.
But I guess I'm failing wildly at
that. We're making progress.
It's a good thing I know a lot about sports.
Yeah. Jury's still out.
You want to talk about Kevin Willard quitting on his team on the day of the Sweet 16?
I have made a choice.
You don't have to speak.
I have made a choice.
Don't say a word.
I heard.
Let's see if you can not speak on it.
Here's all I'll say.
Don't say nothing.
There's a basketball game in 6 hours. I look forward to the basketball game.
Good.
I'm going to watch that basketball game.
Are you going to share a steak with somebody? I'm
getting Chinese.
Oh.
Cisco's coming over.
Hey, I wish I had a heart mind on him right now. It's probably coming out of his
head. I choose not to run. If you want to know my thoughts on...
No, we don't.
I'm just saying, get on the Odyssey app, go to the 10 a.m. mark, and I recommend turning your radio down.
Talking about it.
Because I haven't said a word.
So I listen to you guys, obviously, a lot when I'm on the way in, but I did not hear this great J.P. Finley rant.
It's available.
Put it up, Roos.
It's available. Mm-hmm. When I talk about things...
He walked in looking this color.
When I talk about things I'm passionate about, I often get excited. Things that actually matter to me, sometimes the inflection of my voice changes, or perhaps even the volume of my voice changes.
Your voice is always loud.
For those of you that weren't plugged in or paying attention, or weren't at the ballpark, the booing of Bryce yesterday might have been the loudest that it's ever been. I was at the first game when he came back with Philadelphia.
In 2019?
To play Washington. It was the first week of the season. I don't think it was opening day. I think it was like a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday series, like right after that.
Scherzer was pitching, though, I remember.
Scherzer against Harper. Yeah. And what I remember most about that was, I think Trey Turner broke his finger in that game. It was cold. He got hit by a pitch. It was like second or third game, fourth game of the season or something. I want to say maybe they went somewhere for a few days and then came back. Maybe all the details aren't right. But I know Turner breaks his finger on the day where Harper's there for the first time with the Phillies. And he ended up hitting a home run against some donk like Jeremy Hellickson in the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, someone could look that up, but I think it was Hellickson. Doesn't matter. He got booed loudly. But because it was a weeknight game in week one and it was cold, there were not 40,000 people in the stands. So even that night, I'm telling you, the booing for him was not as loud as it was yesterday. And if so facto, then I believe yesterday was the loudest he's ever been booed at Nationals Park. Because it was a sellout, because there was 40,000 people, because there haven't really been that all that many times since he left. And have they opened with the Phillies on opening day? It used to be the Mets all the time. I remember that. Have they had the Phillies in town for an opening day? I don't think they have.
Maybe at some point over the years. But so the game we were talking about, Tuesday, April 2nd, they were in New York with the Mets. And then Tuesday they had their home opener, which was Scherzer against the Phillies. They eventually lost that game 8-2.
That's the one.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Turner breaks his finger.
Yeah.
And there were 26,000 people there or whatever. I mean, I remember getting tickets. It was raining, by the way. It was freezing
cold. Miserable.
Me and my mom went, and there was nobody at the ballpark for a home opener. But anyway, the reason I'm bringing any of this up, Danny, I think there's a chance that yesterday, because of the weather, because it was opening day, because it was sold out, because there was 40,000 people, probably the loudest he's been booed yet. It was just interesting to me that 7 years later, the passion has not subsided, it has not waned, and fans still hate his guts. Brings me to my next point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not telling anybody how to fan, okay? Your fandom is your own. It's your prerogative. I'm just making an observation of something I don't understand. I don't get it this many years in. I never really got it from day one, but I can play along. He went to the Evil Empire. He's going to be the face of their franchise. 7 years later, for a guy that wanted to come back here and made more of an attempt to come back here than a lot of the heroes that we deify because they won a World Series, to be booed the way that he is every single game feels like such little brother syndrome and like almost this jealousy from our fan base that he's not here and he's there, that it as a Nats fan, I'm like, ugh, this is just not a good look. I know I'm in the minority on this. I think most people love it. I will also say, anybody being at Nats Park at this point in 2025, the year of our Lord, who's making any noise and who's engaged, I love you.
We're pro that.
You're part of the solution. You're not part of the problem. So if your noise is booing, but you're at Nats Park, God bless you. You're one of the good ones. If you're one of the people that came by yesterday when we were set up in the left field concourse and dapped us up and is a Nats fan who listens and knows about Bustin' Loose Baseball, our podcast, you are my guy or girl. I love you. But what I am wanting to talk about here, Danny, and ask is this poll question. I brought it up to you today. I know we've always felt differently about this, you and I. But is there ever a point where he doesn't get booed the same way? It's been 7 years. Mm-hmm. He's played here 20 times or more. I don't know. Probably 40, 60, 70, 80.
I don't know.
He's homered in every single one of those games.
Seems like it.
After you guys booed him, which should is even more embarrassing in a sense. Numbers approximate. But is it just perpetuity because he plays for the Phillies and left? Does anyone care about how it happened or the actual details? Does anyone remember any of them?
So I don't know if it's in perpetuity or not. I've never understood how you've never gotten this. It's not that he left. He wanted to come back thing is the thing we've always disagreed about. You've accepted the Scott Boras public narrative version of that. Here's what happened. The Nationals offered him a huge contract, whether you liked the contract, didn't like the contract, whatever. Then they didn't hear from him for a month or 2 months. So here's what happened. They didn't hear from him for a month or 2 months. He did the Scott Boras playbook thing where he takes your offer and he leaves. When he couldn't get another offer and the Nationals moved on, signing Patrick Corbin in the interim, nobody's out there offering him what he wanted. So then he said, hey, that offer, is it still good? And that's when actually, no, we moved on because you didn't respond to us at all. But I really want to come back. And then he finally got what he wanted to with all these BS no trade clauses and not the no trade clause, the you can't leave clause or no flexibility, just so he set the record and then claimed that he always wanted to be in Philadelphia.
Right.
He had a public appearance, an article where he said, quote, what does that do for me? What does that do for my family in terms of a huge amount of money, hundreds of millions of dollars that he was offered? Again, he didn't like the way the deal was structured, so which is his right.
So there's some details on that that are important. He was offered a contract that he should not have signed.
Totally fine.
It was a $300 million contract, which was well less than he got, at a year where the market completely cratered and was down.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually ended up getting a little bit screwed anyway compared to several years later here where, you know, it's booming. He went into the housing market at a time when the housing market was down as it is and still did better with no deferments. The whole point of free agency was he was going to go look around. They told him to do it. They said, okay, you go look. Come back. Let's see. This is how free agency works, right?
Sure.
Is you go see what's out there. He did. He saw that he could do better, but he was willing to stay here on a worse contract for less to stay in Washington, D.C. at $300 million with those deferments, and then the option wasn't there anymore. But my point is just, like, Juan Soto won a World Series here. Very different. My favorite player ever. I'm not running down Juan Soto. I told you this last week. I bought a Juan Soto jersey. I'll probably never buy another baseball jersey again. He's my favorite player in the sport, and maybe my favorite player of all time. Juan Soto got a $440 million record-breaking offer, right? That was signable. Now, he ended up several years later doing a lot better. And you can make the case shouldn't have signed it. He never had one intention of staying here, not one. Made it very clear behind the scenes. His agent made it very clear all along. It was always about getting the most money from whatever team. That was always the point. That was always the narrative with Bryce. It was not nearly as talked about behind the scenes. One of those two guys actually came back and tried to accept an offer for less than other teams were offering them and played for the Nationals. It's not Juan Soto. So it's just weird to me. Again, he won a World Series, and that is the difference between the two of those guys. I understand this. But they act like the Nationals offered Bryce Harper more money than the Phillies did to stay. He turned it down and said, I don't want to play for a loser. Went to Philadelphia and took a worse contract. That's not what happened. That's not the reality. You say I believe the Boras side of it or whatever. I've talked to people on the Boras side. I've talked to people on the Nats side. I think I've got a really good understanding from both sides of what happened. And piecing both sides together, best I can come up with is a free agency period played out.
Sure. And he did it this way, where
the normal way.
Well,
how the players do it.
The Boras way. and which is you don't say anything for months to the team that offered you, that has business to attend to. We have to fill out a roster. We need to decide what we're doing. We have an offer that's lingering out there. Would you like to counter it? You had November 7th, the 8th, the 9th, the 10th, all the way until the March of the following year when he finally signed with Philadelphia because the offers weren't coming in. That's when he came crawling back. He'd publicly run down the offer, by the way. Said, again, what does that do for my family? Has nothing to do with...
talking about deferred money in real time.
Sure.
Sure.
What does that money do for my family? I'd say a lot. That rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. His attitude about it rubbed people the wrong way. Then once the offers didn't come, then he came crawling back. I think that's the most important critical part here. The Nationals had correctly moved on because you can't wait around for somebody or whatever.
We disagree a little bit on the idea that there was no communication with Bryce Harper for months. I don't believe that that's what I remember.
Well, it was through his agent, and that's the Boris playbook. So you say it's normal, that's what's normal. Boris takes the offers and says thank you, and people start panicking and they offer more.
But I don't think to say that like for 3 months there was no talking with Bryce Harper at all, that's not how I remember it.
Well, what happened was he was offered in November. The Nationals kind of went, okay, well, we don't know what to do, so we're
and
going
their
to
calls
go.
Are just going under all unanswered who, until January.
Who knows? Well, I don't know who talked to whom exactly when. If you
right,
do,
that's
you,
my
you,
point.
You could share that. The point was there were no counters, as far as we know, from Boris and Harper. If you're interested in staying, you could counter. You could say, here's what I would like. Here's what I'm getting from somewhere else.
I think that happened.
I don't think it did. We probably would have found out about it.
Well, you don't think that the agent or the player said, this is what I'm looking for?
No, because Scott Boris doesn't do that. He says, thank you, and takes the money, and takes the offer and goes away.
The idea that he does it one way for every player all the time, I don't think is true.
That's the standard playbook for his huge market guys.
Standard playbook is true.
Well, you said it was standard for a lot of people, right?
Was it standard for Steven Strasburg when he re-signed for $175 million a couple
times? I think the player wanted something different.
Yeah, exactly right. So you do what the player wants.
Right. So Bryce got what he wanted, which was the most money ever, the most years, and that was what was important to him. So, and then he pretended that it was all about Philly. So when the offers weren't coming in, and that's why he signed so late, by the way. So they weren't coming in, and so now all of a sudden he comes back, hey, I want to be part of the Nationals, before he finally got his Philadelphia offer. So this idea of he wanted to be here, he had a very funny way of showing it for months before the offers that he thought would be there didn't come in.
So there's another question, though, of how seriously did they want him back?
It's a very fair question.
And I think you and I both know that there's some debate about that.
100%.
Based on a lot of the people that we talked to at that time that were high ranking.
Absolutely. So their initial offer was just that, as far as I can tell, an initial offer. If you're really interested, you could negotiate that. That wasn't what happened. They took it, left, shopped it on the open market, used it as a beginning point for everybody else.
This is how it works. The whole Manny Machado signed at the same time. $300 million contract he got from San Diego. That was the market. You're acting like he signed 9 months after everybody else or whatever. That's when all the business was getting done that year. I don't remember the specifics of why. If there was a, I don't know if that was the work stoppage year or
it wasn't specifically, but it was a late start. I remember that.
And Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, all those guys were signing late.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is that's when the negotiating was happening. That's when he comes back now to negotiate and they go, we're good, thanks.
Yeah,
which is fine.
We signed Patrick Corbin.
By the way, I didn't have any problem with moving on. My point is it is just odd to me, the animus toward a guy who dragged this organization with a couple of other guys into a different era, into a different respectability, who made it fun to be a Nationals fan for years, who gave unbelievable memories year after year after year. The Home Run Derby at Nats Park, probably a top 10 sporting event for me, when he won the Home Run Derby wearing the DC stuff on his head.
With the American flag bat.
I think he was wearing a fanatic thing on his head because he's always been Mr. Philly. Right? It's very weird as a Nationals.
Cheese sticks, Liberty Bells.
If somebody were to say to me, I don't like Bryce Harper because he's a phony who pretends like he loves Philadelphia so much. Now, I would understand that. Like, and I'm kind of asking, does the hatred come from? Is it just because he plays for the Phillies? Is it just because I had a couple of beers and people were booing and I thought it'd be fun? I guess I'm just wondering why.
Mm-hmm.
And you're giving me your answer, which is you feel personally slighted by how he handled free agents.
Yeah, that process played out where he thought all these huge offers were coming, that it was going to be this feeding frenzy. It didn't happen. He spent time running it down. I mean, they're leaking word out that it wasn't good. That's not what you do. That's not very classy.
He talked to Barry Sferluga once and gave an answer to a question that you didn't like. It wasn't like he was putting up billboards in D.C. to say
he told ESPN the magazine. And so,
then it wasn't Sferluga.
But the point is, but also through Boris and whoever else, if you had a lot of interest in staying, you could do something about it at any time. There could have been a lot more negotiating, and there wasn't. What he did was took their offer, said, thanks very much.
Yeah.
went out and shopped himself around. Things didn't come back. He ran the offer down, but, and then pretended to be Mr. Philadelphia all along.
To me, and again, we're just disagreeing on this. I'm not saying I'm right. Everything's fine. You're explaining free agency in the business of sports, and what you're taking it personally, which, and maybe that's the answer. And I get that. But fans can take stuff personally when guys leave. But when you become you wait 7 years to get a chance to go to a market. Oftentimes, the way you get the most possible money is to hit the market. If you just stay at the fan in perpetuity, I know you're not going to believe this, Danny, but you're probably not going to get big raises. But if you actually have a market and you can go out there and shop around, even if you want to stay with the fan, you go figure out what you're worth.
I understand
the fan
all that.
Pays it
but you're conflating free agency, what Anthony Rendon did, with what Bryce Harper did. Like, it's not just this standard thing. He wants another team. Well, if you do it from a 30,000-foot view and go, he wants another team. Okay, that's fine. Lots of guys have left. Lots of guys will leave again.
Sure.
It's this idea that they go, here's a pretty sizable offer. Whether you like it or not, you think you could poke holes in it, that's fine. Do you want to begin this process? And he didn't. Ran it down in public. Leaked out a bunch of things through various sources that it wasn't good and this is way below what we need. Used it as a jumping point. Didn't get the offer that he wanted. Came crawling back. Then pretended to be Mr. Philadelphia. That's not just leaving in free agency. Guys leave in free agency all the time and more will leave.
I would say that's like the I got hurt version of it. My version of it would be he got this offer as the floor offer of worst case scenario, I can accept this. Let me see what's out there. They say okay, like they do with every player in free agency every single time. The market that year, as we've both agreed, for whatever reason,
it was weird.
It took months to start. So there was no. He can't come back 6 weeks later when the market hasn't started yet for the players of his caliber to tell you what it's not. We're not there yet. So when he found out what he was worth, and he had offers from other teams in hand, he said, "You know what? I'm going to do better financially in Philly and in these other places." I'll come back to Washington for less money with this stupid contract with the deferred money, and I'll take it. And then it's not there. By the way, the Nats would win a World Series the next year.
Mm-hmm.
I think they probably did the right thing, honestly, than the contract that he got from Philadelphia. But two ways to view the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it, and maybe that's the answer. Maybe people felt personally slighted. The first time he came back, I get it. He's a Philadelphia Philly. It's going to be crazy. Now, I even then would have probably not been one of the ones booing, but sure. 7 years later, the guy's had so many great moments and turned into a player every bit as good as he was ever supposed to. No one should be able to live up to the hype of being on SI.
He's done it, man.
When you're 16 years old and he's done it. And every at bat in 2025 is still like the guy kicked you in the stomach and stole your girlfriend. He was so important and did so much good here. Like, it's always like it'll always be like this. There's never going to be a
that I don't know. I don't know if that burns less bright at some point.
Thanks for 2012 and through 2018. Like that, that's not happening at any point.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know what the answer is
now. I think he's a phony who doesn't love Philadelphia as much as he likes. Now, I shouldn't call him a phony. That's not nice. But he acts like a phony with his favorite food is cheesesteak. His favorite song is The Fresh Prince.
Whatever way the wind blows, he's
he
a wind
loves sock. Will Smith. Yeah. He only watches Rocky. You know, whatever.
He's a human hashtag. He's always been that way.
Dude sat in the press box wearing a Vegas Golden Knights gear.
Big Cowboys fan, Vegas fan, whatever. You know, come on.
So I understand if you just say, he rubbed me the wrong way, whatever. But it's just crazy to me that the loudest he's ever been booed maybe at Nats Park was yesterday in 2025. Like when does that end? Maybe that's my question.
Right, so that I don't know. To me, it's not crazy yesterday because, again, it's the jersey popping, chin strap beard, double earring. What did you call the guy that was sitting near us? The dude who has the haircut that they have on the board at the barbershop?
Oh,
you
know, God.
Whatever that was. So that guy stands up and is like, yo, Bryce, yeah, son. Like, so you're not only booing Bryce, but you're booing that guy. Because he turned into Philadelphia's favorite son.
So kind of what I'm talking about, which is like there is this like jealousy that they have him then?
No, it's because that guy's annoying and he's cheering for Bryce.
But you're
drowning
not
out the booze.
Trey, the next batter.
No, because it's not the same level of animus.
Understood.
So when Matt Harvey's down here, I don't know Matt Harvey from anybody, years ago in the 7-train army, whatever those horses' asses were, came down, they start cheering. Well, the boos are louder to drown them out. You know what I mean? So, like, when people are doing the Let's Go Mets or Let's Go Eagles chants yesterday or Let's Go Phillies, that's when the booing happens.
It's pretty clear the booing when Bryce Harper's getting booed is for Bryce Harper being
sure.
Bryce
Harper. Sure. It starts with Bryce Harper, then they're cheering, and then the booing goes to drown them out. So, that's why yesterday was loudest.